Welcome to Stateside. I'm April Vair. As of Monday, Michigan has administered more than 1 million total of first and second doses of the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines. This is a big milestone, but obviously of little comfort to the millions of people, some of them essential workers or at medical risk, who are still waiting for their doses. State health officials are taking a breath and thinking about the next stage of vaccinations and COVID's continued spread in the community. Dr. Jonae Khaldun, Michigan's chief medical executive, testified before Congress this week about COVID response and vaccine distribution, and she joins us now. Dr. Khaldun, welcome back to Stateside.
Thank you for having me on.
Michigan has now reached 1 million doses. Does that mean 1 million doses distributed to counties and hospitals and institutions, or 1 million doses actually administered into people's arms?
That is more than 1 million doses administered in people's arms. That does include first and second doses, but we are incredibly pleased with the progress we have made in the state.
Should we assume that this is the pace Michigan will maintain for the next 7 weeks?
I expect us to continue to increase our rate of vaccinations. We've continued to improve week by week since we started about 6 weeks ago. And so I'm pleased with the progress. And I'll say the work of our local health departments, of our hospitals, of our pharmacies, and others who have really been on the front lines vaccinating people.
What do you feel has gone well up to this point in terms of the distribution of the vaccine doses? And what would you like to see improved?
Well, Michigan's actually one of the top states in the country when it comes to us drawing down, meaning distributing that which the federal government has made available to us. So we're doing a great job of that. Our partners across the state have really increased the speed of vaccinations. We've given them a target of 90% of the doses that they receive at their facility being in an arm within 7 days. By and large, our providers have stepped up to the challenge. I think more and more it's going to be important for us to really address our vaccination strategy from a lens of equity. We know that across the entire country, minority populations are not getting vaccinated at the rates of whites across the country. And we have to be strategic and targeted, not only in the way that we allocate our vaccines, but on the ground, the strategies we are implementing to get into neighborhoods to be able to vaccinate individuals.
I know that the guidelines for distribution of vaccine doses to the counties and institutions has been somewhat recalibrated in recent weeks, and that the State Department of Health and Human Services is now taking into account some CDC guidelines that include indicators of social vulnerability. In addition to regional caseloads, they're looking at population density, how closely together people are living, the factors locally that may affect people's health. How has that changed where vaccine doses are being allocated in Michigan?
Right. So in the very beginning, again, similar to other states, we were focused on those 1A populations, which were healthcare workers and people who were living or working in long-term care facilities. So the allocations were essentially based on that, the numbers of people in those categories across the state. As we've transitioned into more essential workers, into people who are over the age of 65, it's very, very important that we allocate based on this social vulnerability index that you've described. So like you said, things like income, education, minority status, language, access to transportation, those are things that are really important when it comes to access. And so we actually have a factor by which we multiply the allocations across every jurisdiction, and it impacts how much vaccine goes into those jurisdictions.
You said that the state needs to drill down a little bit further on equity. Can we expect that decisions about how doses are administered, that those decisions will continue to evolve?
Just like everything with COVID over the past year, we will learn more, we will evolve. And yes, I do expect things to evolve as we move forward with the vaccination effort. But I will say we have been targeted and focused on equity throughout the pandemic response. We were able to successfully bring down our disparity between African Americans and whites when it comes to COVID-19 cases and deaths. And so we will continue to build upon that progress when it comes to our vaccination efforts.
What more can the state do if it wants to, you know, further pursue equity in who's getting doses?
Well, we have to work with our communities, and that's one thing that we're doing with the Racial Disparities Task Force, with our Protect Michigan Commission that we just launched last week. We have to work with our communities, developing targeted messages, working with people so that people who are hesitant have a place to ask their questions and get their questions answered. But I think it's also about how we get into neighborhoods and address things like access. So those who are homebound, those who are disabled, those who may not have a car. And when I was the Detroit health director, I actually went into homeless shelters and I went into neighborhoods where at-risk people were. And I literally myself was administering vaccines. That's really where the best public health happens, is when you go into neighborhoods. So we're going to start seeing more of that. We still need mass vaccination clinics. We still need drive-throughs, but we also need to have mobile vans and clinics and people going into neighborhoods to be able to vaccinate our most vulnerable populations.
Right. There are some areas in Michigan that initially received more doses than they were able to distribute to hospital workers and folks in that 1A group, I believe over 75 or who are living in congregate care. And especially as the guidelines flexed out a little bit and allowed people, included people over 65, some teachers. And we've been hearing that that was due to several factors. In some cases, it was community resistance. You know, there were people who wanted to wait and see with the vaccine. Sometimes the institution that's doing the vaccinating had logistical problems that they were dealing with. Of the vaccines that have been distributed in Michigan so far, do you know how many have gone to folks in the 1A priority group and how many went beyond?
You know, I do not know that off the top of my head, but I can tell you in the very beginning, and this is part of the work that we had to do, it was not just about doctors and nurses in healthcare settings. It was also about environmental staff. It was about security officers, anyone who was working in a healthcare setting where they could be exposed to people or people who or to infectious materials. So we had to make sure people understood how broad that category was. As we moved into 1B, of course, we had to think differently about how we distribute the vaccine. So that's why we're now engaging more pharmacies and FQHCs. So as we move forward with the different populations, we will pivot and be able to reach the populations that we're trying to reach with these eligibility groups.
Is the state tracking who's getting the vaccine? What kind of demographic information do we have about people who've actually taken at least one of the shots?
So we do have age data that's on our website right now. We are actively working through our race data. We do expect to be able to post that at some point. Right now, there's so much data that is missing. We have to do a lot of work to try to make that data more robust so that we paint the accurate picture when we do post it. But I'll tell you, I know that there are going to be disparities when it comes to racial and ethnic groups and who's getting the vaccine. There's no question in my mind that that exists, which is why we are laser focused on implementing our strategy and addressing equity.
Hmm. What else is the state doing to make sure that the process of booking and traveling to vaccine appointments is accessible to those who need it? You did mention mobile units and that being an issue, but there are folks maybe whose internet access isn't that great, even if they are mobile. Are there other channels that the state's been exploring to try to get the word out that people need to make the appointment?
Absolutely. So we understand that not everyone has access to internet or a computer, which is why we've asked our local health departments and our hospitals to have phone appointments available. We are also working with 211, so people can actually call 211 to help get their appointments scheduled as well.
Is 211 directing people to appointments at this time? We heard that in the early stages, some people were calling and being told that they couldn't make an appointment that way.
Well, we've been building that out over the past several weeks. Again, all this capacity is new. There's never been this scale of a mass vaccination effort ever in the country. So we have had to build out that capacity. So local health departments have phone lines, but also 211. If you call 211, they can also help you.
Going back to the macro picture of how many COVID-19 vaccination doses are available domestically right now, there was a revelation early in the year that the national stockpile was not, in fact, a national stockpile, and that the federal government last year did not make arrangements to make doses available that would be under federal control. Do you know how many doses the federal government has right now, or is that information being provided to the states?
You know, I do not believe that there is some secret stash of vaccines. I've had great conversations with the Biden administration. They're doing everything they can to make vaccines more accessible to the states. That's why you've seen the additional 20% that's coming out to states. That's why you've seen them. They're going to be allocating to pharmacies now, moving forward in the upcoming weeks. And they are moving forward with purchasing additional vaccines. So I appreciate the transparency and clarity, quite frankly, from the Biden administration, and look forward to more of that in the upcoming months.
Dr. Joan A. Khaldun is Michigan's chief medical executive. Dr. Khaldun, thanks for talking to us.
Thanks for having me on.